Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are pleased to be with Dr. Ann Harrington. Some of these stories you are telling, you tell in the book that at least is tentatively called Stories Under the Skin. The fascination humans have for ourselves and this continuing sense of exploration is to me in and of itself an interesting story. And the one that you tell, at least in the manuscript form, that gets to Eastern medicine that in fact is brand new. and all of these telling ourselves stories on top of stories and then having assumptions that are just wrong. The human animal's thirst for, I guess there's a sense of eventually we're going to figure out what we really are, and then it'll move.
Well, we ask maybe different questions about ourselves, and maybe there's a way to map the changing appeal of these different stories, you know, in terms of those questions, although I hadn't quite done it that way before. But I think, say, in the early 20th century, much more the question was, you know, what is mind? What are we fundamentally? And maybe really more in these, since the post-war years, post-World War II years, it's much more about what's wrong with us, not just what are we, but what's gone wrong. And stress is one answer. And then the third question is, how can we make ourselves well again? This sense when we explore ourselves that we're a defective organism. And they hope that maybe there's some group of people out on the planet that got it better than we did. Is very much informing the interest in Eastern traditions, practices in our own time.
As you say that, the questions you ask will profoundly affect the answers you get.
Right. So here's an interesting thing perhaps to think about. We're interested in meditation. People are very interested in meditation. Why are we interested in meditation? Well, because we think something is wrong with us and we think maybe meditation will fix us. And what we think is wrong with us is that we're too stressed. Often that's what we think, or that we're out of balance and we are ill because we are stressed and out of balance. Now, meditation in its original cultural context was not a form of medicine. It wasn't practiced in order so that stressed out people could become more relaxed. It was a spiritual technology. It was a way of calming the mind in order that you could achieve insight into the deficiencies of your own thinking and come to master them as part of a path towards enlightenment. What people have done in the West is taken bits and pieces of a tradition and recast it as something that will be useful to them and their own preoccupations. And I sometimes worry a little bit about what's lost, what's gained. I'm not saying it's not an exercise that people should be forbidden to do, but they should be aware of what they're doing. Nobody 1,000 years ago thought meditation was a stress buster. But since the 1970s, we've thought of it in that way, partly because of the work of people like Herbert Benson, partly because of the proselytizing of organizations like TM, Transcendental Meditation, and now in part more recently because of quite exciting work that is being done particularly with Tibetan meditating monks. Who are happy to participate in this. So again, it's not that anyone is being, you know, frog marched into an arena they don't want to go into, but there are implications to it. And so this comes back, you know, what kinds of questions are we asking about meditation? Well, they come out of our own preoccupations, and you could be asking different kinds of questions.
They also come out of a preoccupation with self rather than community. And when one looks at community, yeah, which is broken, I mean, were one to ask, how could my meditative practice help me contribute to a more life-affirming world? That's different than how do I deal with traffic?
I think that's the secret agenda of the Dalai Lama, why he is so supportive of this kind of research. I think that the Dalai Lama is quite practical and also, you know, very smart man. And he understands that you need to start with where people are. And people are interested in themselves, and people are interested in helping themselves feel better. And so he's happy to have meditation, so it seems, watching him interact with science, he's happy to have meditation recast in this way. But when you listen carefully to what he then says, he always says that he hopes that eventually this will have implications for ethics. because the side effect, how ironic to call it that, but the side effect of meditating for health is that you might actually become more compassionate. You might actually begin to feel a greater sense of connection and community and so on. And so people might start out for self-ish reasons and end up discovering that they actually become more selfless. And that, so I think that there are multiple levels of agendas going on, and the agenda or interest on the Tibetan side may not be identical to that on the Western scientific side.
You quote him, the word that just jumped out was awareness, from his standpoint, that the more aware we are of ourselves and the world we inhabit and all going on around us, the better off we are. And this is one way to get there.
And this is an ethical position, not simply a psychological position,
right.
That awareness is about seeing the consequences of your actions and seeing the reality of suffering and seeing the imperative need to intervene. So I think the Dalai Lama cares a great deal about science. He's very interested in science. He's probably somewhat interested in medicine and health because it's about a way of relieving suffering. And by the way, just to make sure that there's no misunderstanding here, that a lot of the motivation that has brought some of the important Western researchers into this area is the feeling that medicine is an arena where there's a lot of suffering, and so it's a good place to first introduce meditation. The fact that then people are tempted to see meditation as another thing they do for themselves in a quite reductionistic or technological way, you know, is just the reality of where we are. But that ethical motivation to a certain extent is there too. But the Dalai Lama is interested in science, but he's very particularly interested in how do you make the world a kinder place in a context where all religions are sectarian and there's no universalist basis. What could possibly serve as a universalist basis for ethics? Well, he hopes it might be science. And if it's going to be medical science...
It seems improbable, doesn't it?
It does. I'm sort of, you know, it's motivated by all the right things. But medical science in particular, because it has the potential to be transformative of people, maybe it's a way to then, you know, move people. If people know that that meditation will make them healthier, they'll start meditating, and if they start meditating, then there'll be cascading effects that will be good for the world. I think that's his kind of hope.
Again, well, the story.
And if compassion doesn't work in the medical sciences, where is it going to work?
Well, and you do not speak of His Holiness the Dalai Lama in an abstract way. You have been involved in many of these kinds of events, so it's not...
I've listened to him. I've been fortunate to be involved in some of the conferences and meetings that he has been involved in through an organization that I've been involved with called the Mind and Life Institute that sponsored a lot of dialogues between scientists and His Holiness over the years. But one of the meetings I was at with him was not sponsored by the Mind and Life Institute. It was in New York about 6 or 7 years ago. And you mentioned about, if you're not going to find compassion in medicine, where will you find it? There was a very interesting exchange that happened at that meeting. It was on meditation and the possibility that meditation might be integrated into hospital medicine and how that might help patients and also how it might help practitioners. And I was struck. The participants at the meeting were very excited to talk about very esoteric, high-level forms of meditation. There was a huge amount of talk about something they called bliss. And the Dalai Lama would say things, I've never actually experienced that. I've heard there's something called bliss. And he was very... and then at some point he said, maybe it would do just as much good if instead of worrying about all this very high-level meditation, people just... try to be kinder. So I think, you know, why do we need to go through all these exotic, fancy routes in order to arrive at a very simple bottom line?
We're victims of our narrative.
And we will continue the narrative in just a moment when we return with Ann Harrington on The Paula Gordon Show.